Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's the Friday episode, finally. It's a lot later than it usually is. Various reasons. No one seems to have noticed, actually, on Twitter. No one's complained or anything. Where's today's episode?
I monitored the Facebook group and someone
Did you alert them that it was going to be late?
No, someone else did. And then someone just... The thing is, the hardcore counters are so well-trained that they, it's almost like we've got automated bots to do our answers for us, because someone said no episode today and someone else just quickly answered underneath reasons. And I thought, well, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they've done it for us. They know that's what's going on. Yeah. There are reasons.
I mean, this morning was pretty much out of the question because I was just a little bit incapable. I was at the funeral of our good friend Dave Harper yesterday.
Yeah.
And the service was at 10 a.m. And the wake began at about 11:15, and I was in the various pubs until 11:30 last night.
Was it a wake crawl?
It was a wake crawl, yeah.
Lovely.
But we had a social club. We had the function room in a social club near the crematorium. Steel Social Club. You might be familiar with it if you're from Sunderland. We had that until 5 p.m. and then we got kicked out. So then we went down Hilton Road, and there's a few pubs in Hilton Road. So we stopped off in a couple of them. And then ended up in the Ivy House, which is near the Pop Rex. And it's kind of like Dave's. Dave did the quiz in there for a few years on a Wednesday night. So it's a place close to his heart. So
the
we ended
Pop
up
Rex
in there.
I went to, because there was an old Pop Rex as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, the old one near the bus station. Yeah, where some people went for the gig because they hadn't been told the right information.
Including me, you mean?
Including you, yeah.
I went there as well.
An integral part of the event, yeah. But yeah. It was as good as funerals can be, you know, as people always say. There was a lot of laughter,
yeah.
Which yeah, is what Dave would have wanted, really. There's a lot of laughter, a lot of sadness. But during the eulogy, which was given by Dave's close friend Ross, he pretty much began the eulogy by saying that Dave didn't pass away in the manner that he kind of wanted to, namely to be bummed to death by a pack of dogs.
Is that what he wanted?
And
Ross said this in the eulogy.
Ross said this in the eulogy.
Legend.
Or the other way that Dave wanted to go was to be the first man in history to drive a canal boat up his own arse. So you can see that set the tone. That set the tone for the day, really.
Fucking hell, I've got to say, I was jealous when you told me you were going. As much as I was gutted about Dave dying, right? Yeah. On the other hand, I thought, fuck, that's going to be a cracking fucking send-off.
Oh, man, it was. And you know what? I was just thinking about this today. I was out for 12 hours, so I was chatting with various people, lots of people. Mm. Some I knew, some I didn't. And there wasn't a single person I encountered yesterday who was in any way, shape or form a dick.
Oh,
you know how you'll go to some kind of social function or a wedding or a funeral, you'll get talking to someone who is invariably a dick at some point. Nobody. And that's a great reflection on Dave Harper, I think.
Quite often boring people. That's what I fear at funerals too.
Maybe I was the boring one, I don't know. Mm. But, you know, there's nobody like that at all you didn't want to talk to. Everyone
I remember
was great.
Dave being very entertaining and telling me about a local dick of note.
Right.
From round your way. Obviously, I won't get into details or who it is, but it's one of the things I remember is he's just telling me about a local character who I've sort of, even though I can't remember the name of him, I became a bit obsessed with him because it sounded like a brilliant idea for a sitcom. He was just a local dick who he was having to deal with like a nemesis all the time. So obviously he wasn't invited, clearly.
If it's who I think it was, no, I didn't see him there yesterday.
Local Sunderland dickhead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was invitation only for the crematorium for the service, but then for the social club, it was like advertised on social media. You know, anybody that wants to come freestyle. Along, come along. And it was well busy.
What was the grab like at the party?
High quality beige buffet.
Yeah.
Triangular sandwiches, spring rolls, sausage rolls, pork pie segments, crisps.
So good, one thing better than a pork pie, a pork pie segment. Because then you see the beautifully flat pork that you could hold a spirit level to.
Yeah.
Can't you? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It was like pork pie triangles, like from Trivial. If Trivial Pursuit was made of pork pies...
Which it should be.
It was like that. It should be. I mean, I got to the end of my selection and I had a triangular tuna sandwich and I had a pork pie segment left and I thought, what shall I have first? I'll have the sandwich and the pork pie can be the dessert.
Yeah. There you go. So what, did you just have one lot? Did you pile up one plate high and just stick with that?
Quite highly piled plate, yeah. I didn't go back for more.
Yeah, that's my system from Christmas. As always, I use just the highly piled plate. Sorry to dwell on the food, but what time were you allowed at it?
At the buffet?
Yeah.
It was quite early on. I think it was about 12:30. It was within an hour of getting to the club.
So around lunchtime. I love it when something extraordinary happens, like a death. I like the way that normal rules are suspended. And one of the rules that are suspended are when you can start eating lunchtime foods. Eating lunchtime foods before lunchtime is a fucking thrill that doesn't Treat, you don't get it? The opportunity for many times in life. The other classic time for eating lunchtime foods before lunchtime, which I would say is before midday. I know up north people have lunch at midday anyway. In London, one is more common, but I tend to follow northern rules these days because I just spend all my time at home, so who's going to fucking stop me eating lunch at midday? But what I'm saying is, if you ever had a packed lunch, which I'm pretty sure you didn't because you went home for a soup at lunchtime usually, right? Yeah. But if you had a packed lunch, my mum would put my packed lunch on the table for me to grab and put in my bag before I went to school. But if I threw a sickie and had the day off, she'd go to work and say, you don't need to worry about lunch because your sandwich and that's already on the table. As soon as she was out the door and the house was empty, I'm still in my fucking dressing gown. That fucking lunch is getting eaten now, you cunt.
Allegedly poorly. And you're on the lunch but at 9:15 a.m.
Bullshit. It was bullshit. Or I had a bit of a sniffle.
Yeah.
I'd be like, right, telly on, bang, Open University. Right, what have I got for lunch? Tuna sandwich. Lovely. Packet of Golden Wonder. I'm going to have that for my breakfast. And funerals are the other great opportunity for that kind of thing.
I've just remembered something which happened at about, it'll have been about 5:30 p.m. We walked past Oscar's Vets between
don't
pubs.
Tell me the vet came out and tried to interact with you.
Last time I took Oscar into the vet at the end of the consultancy, he said he was a big fan of mince. So I had a bit of a chat with the vet about mince. So there's me, cock of the walk, walking down the street in my funeral gear, and the door of the vet is open, and
my
I could
best
see him.
Funeral gear.
I could see him, and I just shouted, "Hey, is that Tom?" He went, what is it? And he had a look. Had a bit of banter with the vet.
Being drunk and bumping into like people from normal life.
Yeah.
It's a fucking drag, isn't it? I mean,
especially at 5:30 p.m. when you're not really expected to be really drunk.
We used to always call it, in my drinking days, me and my mates used to say, oh, God, it was really bad. I had to pretend to be human. That's what you have to do. We start being human. Oh, hello. Hello, Dr. Vet. yes, I have been meaning to bring young Oscar in for his regular checkup.
It is I believe you are a fan of my podcast. I just thought I'd shout hello through the door as I was passing.
Hello. My dogs, funny I should bump into you, because as a matter of fact, I was examining my dog's ring piece only last night, and I don't know if I spotted some kind of parasitic creatures and set up home there, and maybe something that needs a professional eye.
So yeah, that was I apologise to anybody I encountered yesterday who I might have embarrassed.
It was all in the name of honouring the passing of a great man.
And as was regularly said throughout the day, it's what Dave would have wanted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a sad day, but also a lot of fun. No, lots of laughs. And, now we need to work out how Poprex continues, because Dave just completely fucking ran the show himself. It would take like
five or six people. So it's not just resources as in money. It's like who's going to actually pick up the reins, because it's a full-time... thing really,
but I think the money thing's going to be the money thing will be the harder part. But there's various plans and schemes afoot, so I think it'll be okay. So that was why I couldn't do the podcast this morning, because I just felt fucking discombobulated. I felt a lot less hungover than I thought I would, given the amount that I consumed. Yeah, 12 hours.
Do you get bad hangovers?
I don't really go out that often. Get pissed enough to get hangovers anymore, so I don't know. But we did the thing at like 10:45 when they were calling last orders. Let's get whiskies. Another one, and let's all get whiskies. Yeah,
have a whiskey like a gentleman does.
Yeah,
in such situations,
it's very sophisticated and won't affect our performance in the next hour.
Let's get a different colour of alcohol in a different glass.
So I was just minging by that point. So there we go. You said before we started recording this episode, you had a bit missing.
We've gone deep into the heart of death, bereavement, and the human condition. So now,
as we always do,
me discussing the fact that I lost an attachment from my headphone cable doesn't really seem appropriate. It did at the time. It felt exciting, because sometimes even the most trivial matters can seem like good Top Flight Time Machine content. There is a bit that this podcast, people don't know about this bit. I've not publicised it, but
I wasn't aware of the bit.
It's very important to this podcast. The bit is an adapter for my best headphones, which are the ones I'm wearing, to plug them into my phone, an iPhone attachment. But I bought a few of these little attachments, and most of them are shit.
Right.
But there's one that is just perfect. Never gives me any grief. There's never any crack. You've never complained of a crackle in the edit.
You can't beat a reliable bit, can you?
And when you find one. It's kind of old. It looks less fresh than the others. It's a little bit grubby. Yeah. But I know the bit, and the bit is the only bit I trust.
The bit never lets you down.
It was missing from its usual place on my desk as I was about to call you to commence the podcast.
Did you find it?
And I was like this. Ah! Who's seen my bit? Shouting down the stairs. And they're all like, Len's like, I don't know where your bit is. And I'm like, I know that little fucker's been using my bit behind my back. I've seen him do it. And I've said, if you use that bit, I don't mind what stuff of mine you use as long as you put it back. But that bit is a different matter. That bit, the Top Flight Time Machine empire rests upon this fucking bit. So don't be moving it. Thank God my good wife knew where it was. She fucking knows where everything is.
Jalapeño.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Thing is, mate, when I lose things, I'm very quick to lose my temper about it. And I lose things a lot. There's a lot of chat going on at the moment about attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
And I've got, I know a few people, including some good friends, who've been diagnosed with it. And so I did a questionnaire, because everyone's like, I've got ADHD. You probably have as well. And you're like, fucking hell. It's not like, you know, suddenly everyone's got fucking, you know, I don't know, stunt nuts on their BMX, so we all have to get them. It's a mental condition, right? So I fucking looked it up. I thought, all right, fuck it, I'll do the questionnaire. So I do the questionnaire, and yeah, I pass it with flying colours. I've definitely got ADHD according to these 20 questions. Right. A lot of it is you lose things a lot, you're absent-minded, and then you sort of get quite quick-tempered about it because you get frustrated very easily because you're always fucking confused, right? And anyway, this was a while back, so I said to my therapist, what about ADHD? And she was almost a bit like, fucking hell, not another cunt.
Yeah, here
right,
we go.
This is just classic kind
of. I wish I'd commission on this,
Yeah, every fucker's like, I want ADHD. It's what all the cool people have got. It's what all the celebrities have got, right? And she's thought, fucking classic Delaney reckons he's got ADHD. Mm. She went, well, I can't diagnose you.
Just more like.
Yeah, well, yeah. So she goes, right, you. I can't diagnose your therapist, so you're not a clinician, right? So you've got to ask the proper shrink, the expensive one, who I only see once in a while. So I asked him, do you know what he said? I can't remember if I told you this. I went, do you reckon I've got ADHD? Hang on a sec.
Yeah.
I said, do you reckon I've got ADHD? He went, yeah, probably. And I went, what? Well, that's it, the diagnosis. He goes, well, I could diagnose you if you want. We'd have to do like more of a sit down chat and blah blah blah. We have to do this. He went, but I mean, what's the point? Yeah, you probably would have it if I did all of that. He goes, well, what do you want? Pills for it?
Yeah.
He goes, you're already on some pills for other things. What, you want more pills? He went, yeah, you got ADHD. Loads of people have got it. So what? He goes, there's good things about it as well as bad. You might lose shit and lose your temper a bit, but it means you can like think of things quickly and all that stuff. I mean, I'm fucking ADHD, imagine that. I wouldn't mind the bloke cost a fortune. I mean, I do like him, but it's a classic kind of you fucking do it response, isn't it?
Dude, look, doctor, I've got something very serious to ask you. I've done some research and I'm really worried.
I did a questionnaire.
And I want you to be honest. Do you think I have ADHD?
Yeah, probably. Next question. He basically went, you have. Fuck off, I'm not doing anything about it. So that's the end of that conversation.
Can you not get a blue badge then for parking with ADHD?
Yeah, I've been looking into it. And also the other thing I want is one of those giant keys that let you into any toilet. You know they exist, don't you?
Is that how they work? I know they've got the special lock, haven't they? The toilets.
Yeah. And
but
if
you
qualify
get the key
for certain
and they work on all the toilets.
You can get a key that is given out and it's like Doctor Who's magic screwdriver.
Wow. I assumed you'd have to like ask at the desk for the key, but you get it as
mate,
part of your package.
You know my mate Jay, right? You know Jay. So Jay is a wonderful man of mystery and like high sophistication. Yeah,
definitely.
And I've worked with him for years. He's a really old mate, but he's older than me, and he's like he's such a cool bloke that when you're out with him, he somehow makes things happen that you didn't think were possible.
Ooh.
Like, I'm trying to think of an example. He's the sort of bloke that if you're go, you know, when I was younger, if you were going to a club and it was like there was a big queue, Jay would walk in and not even have to say anything to the bouncers or anything like that. Yeah. You'd just walk in with him and he'd never explain why. Is that kind of a character, right?
Like Jedi mind trick shit.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, he's sort of like a Jedi. And you sort of almost trust him with anything. He's the sort of bloke that if you're somewhere and you need to park and you go to him something like, "Ah, mate, you'll never park up here, you better stick it in the multi-story." He just looks at you silently like you're mad and then suddenly turns down a secret alley like Batman. Ooh. And there's like an individual there who he like just throws the keys to and they park it. But like wherever you are in London, he knows, yeah. Right? Yeah. He's just one of those guys. He's got everything fucking down, right? And one time, and anyone who knows him knows this about him, and you almost exchange stories about it. Like, you never guess what Jay did the other day when we were out. He's much older than the rest of us, so we all kind of like speak in hushed tones. Mm. One time I had to meet him at a comedy club in London first thing in the morning because we were having a meeting with the owner, yeah?
Right.
And the meeting was arranged for 10 o'clock, and we got there and we rang on the bell and there was no answer. So then we called the bloke. And there was no answer. And then we bang, bang, banged on the door. And there was still no answer. And then we pulled the door and it was locked. And I was like, this is getting a bit ridiculous now, you know. He's a man who never loses his cool. I'm a man who's always losing my cool. And yeah, I'm like, fucking hell. He's dragged us here at this fucking time in the morning. And he's not even fucking answering the phone. What are we going to do about this, right? So then I turned around, started looking up and down the street, wondering if this bloke was going to arrive. When I turned back, Jay had taken out a nice, tasteful little leather card holder from his inside pocket, and he'd removed a jet black plain credit card. So it was like the size and shape of a credit card, but it had no writing on it at all or branding on it at all. It was just plain, very sophisticated. And he casually, I could see him look around to make sure no one was looking. He didn't know that I was looking. And he casually tapped it against the keyhole of the door and then gently pulled the door. Now,
what?
I know what you think I'm going to say is that the door opened. It did not. The door remained locked. And he just sort of like kind of semi-shrugged himself and put the card back in his wallet. Then he put the wallet back in his inside pocket and said nothing more. And every part of me wanted to say, what the fuck is that card and what magical properties does it possess? But there's something about him that even though I've known him for years and years and he's a really good mate, I didn't have the courage to ask.
No.
But ever since, I've been fascinated by it. So I'm thinking, why did he do that? What is that card? Why did he so confidently tap it against the lock? There is something that he has got. He has somehow acquired a card.
A magic card.
That in some circumstances, can open locks with a single tap. Fascinating.
And you think it's the equivalent of the disabled toilets where you get the magic key?
Yeah, I mean, it's a classier version because the disabled toilets key, the one that I'm after for the old ADHD, that's a big clunky thing. I mean, I'd probably wear it on a bit of string around my neck.
Yeah, like a wrapper.
Yeah. And then if I had one, I mean, I try, like most people, I try to avoid doing shits in public toilets unless I really have to. But I can be honest, if I had one of those keys, I'd probably start doing it more out in public toilets because you've got the key, you might as well make the most of it, you know?
Yeah. I think my pizza might have just arrived.
I'll just quickly tell you this in case it turns up.
Hang on, I'll come back to you in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Andy Dawson and Sam Delaney, the hardest working cunts in podcasting.
The pizza's here, so we'll have to wrap this episode up, I'm afraid. We'll just do quickly predictions.
Yeah.
Speed predictions, yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Southampton versus Manchester City.
0-2.
0-2. I think it will be 0-4. West Ham United versus Manchester United.
2-2. Going for a Desmond there.
2-2. I will go for 2-1 to Manchester United, sorry. Fleetwood versus Sunderland. I'm going to go 3-0 to Sunderland.
2-0 Sunderland.
2-0 to Sunderland. Millwall versus Coventry.
Millwall versus Coventry. 1-0 Cov.
1-1, I think. And then tonight, Newcastle versus Leeds.
1-0.
I will go for 1-0. I will go for 2-1 Leeds, because I'll be quite funny. Was there anything else we needed to mention before we wrap this up?
Well, if you haven't seen it already, the lady from Eggheads, Judith Keppel, was asked yes. who would be on her Ultimate Fantasy quiz team in the big in the book of Eggheads. They right. And she does an interview in it, and one of the questions is, who would be your Ultimate Fantasy quiz team? So mm-hmm. real quick before you go, I'll read out who she says. This is genuinely in the book, and I've shared the picture on Twitter. Benjamin Franklin, polymath. Leonardo da Vinci, science and art. George Augusta Escoffier, food and drink.
Allegaia? George Allegaia?
No, Escoffier. Sir Francis Drake, geography. Benjamin Disraeli, history, politics and literature. Claire Baldwin, sport. Sam Delaney, ex-editor of Heat magazine. No fucking lie.
What? When's this from? Is this from a new book?
Someone put it on the Facebook Iron Filings page.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I checked and cross-checked. It's fucking real. It's incredible. If you don't believe me, I've tweeted the images out and put them on my Instagram as well. Yeah. It's a great honour. And as I said to my mate Dave on Twitter just now, maybe now, my dad will love me. I've sent him a picture of it. No fucking response. No response.
Before we go, the pizza's there, but it's obviously it'll be too hot to eat for a couple of minutes. So this as well, before we go. Did you know it's Billy Bond's birthday today?
I didn't know legend. That. Cockney Christmas.
And Cockney Christmas. And the excellent Sid Lambert on Twitter posted this thing about Billy Bond's sensational warm-up routine. Have you seen this before?
No.
Oh, this is great. The longtime captain never warmed up. His routine was to stick a ball against the wall in the small gymnasium in the dressing room area. Bond says, "I would block tackle the wall to get used to tackling." And then he says, "Do a few stretches, a couple of sprints from one end of the gym to the other. You nutted the door a couple of times and went out and played. That was it, my warm-up." Block tackle Wonderful. The wall. And then nut the door a couple of times and just get out there.
What else do you need? All this bollocks you see now with them activating their glutes. Fuck me.
So there you go. Happy birthday, Billy Bonds.
Yeah, and Merry Cockney Christmas, everyone.
I'm sorry that this episode has been slightly shorter than usual and also a lot later than usual, but there you go. My pizza's here and I fucking need it. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
All the best. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.